And welcome to the Grace Hour Show. We're a Christian podcast, and we look at daily challenges, and we have a discussion that leads you into a deeper understanding of the faith of the Son of God. And we want to give you practical application. That's what our goal is. We want you to put into practice the stuff that we're talking about. My name, I'm Pastor Steve Androlonis. With me today, Pastor Steve Schibelli. It's been a long time since we had a Steve and Steve show.
What do you know?
Yeah, they're good. They're usually good. And we're like putting it out there to see. We pray that it'll be a good show. But we're talking about, we've been talking about the cross, the nature of the cross all week. Christ's cross, not any manufactured cross. Pastor Ronaldo Brown was really good yesterday about talking about this new emphasis on a cross that is really not a cross. And you can listen to that after we finish today. You can listen to that at a number of places, YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, more. And also, of course, our own podcast website, which is gracehour.org. But anyway, we're going to talk, I'm going to read this verse, Pastor Schibelli, and let you launch into it. We want to talk about the suffering and the weight of glory. Paul writes about this in his second letter to the Corinthians, a church that caused him not suffering on the outside, but suffering as a pastor with a heart for his people. But here's what he wrote, chapter 4, verse 17, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." That's a profound statement. Lord bless us as we talk about these things on the Grace Hour show today. Pastor Schibelli, your thoughts to open up there.
Oh, I think the title of what we're speaking about today, which I'm seeing in front of me, is Pursuing the Weight of Glory. And many people pursue many things. Think about what people pursue in life. They pursue an education. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with some of these things, but their pursuit is not Jesus Christ and God's glory, even though they're Christians, but they pursue many things, pursuing money, pursuing riches, pursuing a place to live, pursuing whatever it may be. The pursuit just keeps going on and on and on. And I like what Paul pursued in Philippians 3, 13, 14, and 15. "I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." That's his pursuit. His pursuit was Christ and Christ alone. And pursuing the weight of glory. Well, the weight of glory certainly only comes from God himself, Jesus Christ himself. And what is the weight of glory? That was one of the questions given to us. What is the weight of glory? Well, it's God's glory, it's grace glory, and it's eternal glory. It's the weight of glory. And a lot of people are talking a lot about weight nowadays in life, you know, and yet not about the weight of glory. What is glory, by the way? Let's define this. First of all, glory is the word doxa in the Greek language, and it means really, who God is and what God has done. God's glory is who he is and what he's done. So am I pursuing that? Pursuing who God is and what God has done. Not pursuing who I am and what I do or should do. See, this is the exact opposite. This is what the world pursues. They pursue who they are and what they can do or what they've done. And so they elevate who they are and what they do and what they've done. When pursuing God's glory is pursuing who Jesus Christ is and his character and his nature and his attributes and what he's done, his life, and then the finished work of the cross, who he is and what he has done. And pursuing that, not just say, oh, not just I'm going to church per se, and that's great, wonderful, thank God that people do. But do they pursue Jesus Christ? Do they pursue God? What does it mean to pursue God? I knew something that when I saw my wife, I was going to pursue her. I think the same thing with you, you know. You knew your wife. I knew my wife, and I was going to pursue after her. And, you know, maybe I didn't pursue exactly the way I should have, but I was pursuing her because I just saw her, and I thought, this is an amazing woman. I'm going to pursue her. So pursuing, and how many people pursue so many things? And when they actually get them, they say, like, why did I spend so much time pursuing this? You know, because what did it really result in at all? Some people pursue, like, entertainment and pleasure. Some people pursue narcotics, drugs, and alcohol. Some people pursue popularity and recognition. Some people pursue, you know, political positions and whatever it may be. And they pursue those things. I'm not saying in all cases that these things are wrong, but I'm saying, is their pursuit Jesus Christ? Paul is saying, I press towards the mark. I'm pursuing. He's pursuing the eternal weight of glory. And I love this portion of scripture, especially written to the Corinthians, who at times were pursuing so many things. If you read 1 Corinthians chapter 1 through the end of 1 Corinthians 16, I once counted 95 problems. I think I added the 2 Corinthians also in there too. 95 different problems in the Corinthian church. And it seems to me that the Corinthians were not pursuing God. They were pursuing gifts that God had given. They were pursuing so many things, but they were not pursuing God himself. And I think that's why Jesus said, follow me. He didn't say, I'm going to stand still and let you come to me. On occasions, of course, he did. But he said, follow me in Matthew 4:19 and Luke chapter 5. And these men just got out of a boat. And I like how James and John just left their father in the boat. You say, that's not a very nice thing to do. There's their father who's aged maybe. He's in the fishing business. They're with him in the fishing business. They're going to take over the fishing business. You know what? They're not going to pursue fishing business. He said, I'm making you fishers of men. You fishermen. He said, I love the play on words there. Fishermen or fishers of men. Fishers of men. What are we going to pursue in life? So what are we going to pursue as Christians? What are we pursuing? What are we going after? And so many people who are even born again, do they pursue the Holy Spirit and the life of the Holy Spirit? Do they pursue the Bible? Do they pursue evangelism? Do they pursue the church? What are they pursuing in their life? Or are they just saying, like, I go to church once a week, but I'm too busy? Did you ever hear that from somebody? I'm too busy to come to church more than that. I'm too busy to ever think about going to Bible school. I'm too busy. You're too busy pursuing things that really, once you get them, will really never satisfy you unless you are content with worldliness and things that are outside of God. So pursuing. And so suffering on earth can be turned into glory because I'm pursuing Jesus Christ in the suffering. It's, in other words, like, yes, suffering. Do you ever think about bones that never hurt you before that hurt you now? Physical ailments that come along.
Oh, yeah.
It's a form of suffering, right? Suffering. Suffering in this world. Suffering with unbelievers everywhere. Suffering with all that's taking place. Not just physical. Sometimes people regulate suffering into just that which is physical. But there's mental suffering because of where we are. So how do I eliminate those things? How do I eliminate suffering? I don't get rid of suffering per se, unless God takes it away, but I pursue God in it. I pursue God in the situation. I pursue God in. Maybe I've met a person that had no legs, you know, and yet they were pursuing God. They were pursuing God. And yes, was there suffering? Of course there's suffering. But will I pursue God in it? Then you become so occupied with God that the suffering doesn't have a great place anymore. It's there, but it's not occupying my mind. So pursuing God. So let's talk about that today. Let's get on the phones today. Let's get on all the devices that are out there today that you can connect with us. And let's talk about what it means to pursue God, because suffering, yes, is going to take place. The Bible gave us one promise and people never want to quote. All who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Really?
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to read that promise. I mean, are you kidding me? This is supposed to be just some wonderful, pleasurable ride through my Christian life, never ever facing any kind of opposition, never facing any persecution, never facing anybody that would be resistance to me. I want my Christianity to be a praise the Lord. I want pleasure Christianity and nothing else but that. And then you read some of the things in the epistles, you go, wow, what did Paul go through? What did Peter? Peter crucified upside down with his wife. It's a happy ending to a marriage, right? Suffering. was their suffering. They went to prison. You read about some people in some countries today, even right now, that because they follow Jesus Christ, they're going to prison. And they're in prison because of that. They're prisoners of Jesus Christ, and that's why they can handle being in prison someplace mm-hmm. physically.
Yeah.
And so there's suffering, but meeting God in the suffering. Some people are in countries where they are totally controlled. The government is controlled by some religion, okay? Some religion and people that are in that religion. And so to be a Christian in some of these places means a high risk.
Yeah.
It's going to be a very high risk for that. And yet God is telling us he will meet us with his grace to reflect his glory in the suffering.
Wow.
Amen.
Hey, we're just talking here. If you're watching us, you can throw some comments up there in the chat window and we'll make a reference to those things. But I like what you're saying. There is like the pursuit of the weight of glory, or seeing that weight of glory as a reward. It's, you know, we walk by grace through faith. And I think the thing maybe people fail to realize when we think about the promise of persecution, it's because we are in a world that we are not citizens of.
Mm-hmm.
We are, you know, if you want to talk about resident aliens, and we don't want to go down that political road, but if you want to talk about being resident aliens, we are
mm-hmm.
we are the ultimate resident aliens, because you know, we live for a kingdom that Jesus purchased with his blood, and it's a kingdom that comes mm-hmm. only when his purposes and plans are fulfilled. I thought about this. Maybe you'll like this. All right. You'll like this. Started in the garden with one bite, right? Tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And I just thought of it. It's probably just too cute of an explanation, but it sounded good to me. I just said, like, why is God taking so long to come back? I said, well, there's a lot of fruit on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And until that last fruit is picked and has its manifestation on this earth, then, you know, it's not done yet.
Yeah.
It's like there's, you know, there's just when we think like evil has reached, like I'm sure that people who watched the end of the 40s and saw the atomic bombs and then all the uncovering of what happened in Eastern Europe and in Germany and those camps that were used, I'm sure we thought, surely man can't degrade himself even more. But it seems like, you know, I mean, there's other side, you know, there's the good side of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and there's the evil side of the tree of knowledge, the dark side. And then mm-hmm. I think, don't you think like the most dangerous one might be that gray side? It seems like it seems good, but it really bites you, like the sexual freedom movement that began in the 60s. Look where it's gone. And you know, if you go on the center of disease, what is it called? Whatever.
Center of Disease Control.
CDC. What's it called? Is it Center for Disease Control? Is that what it is? Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry. I just know the letters there. But I looked up one time because I was doing a talk on, you know, on fornication and promiscuity and those kind of things. And I saw that, like, when they say, if you want to avoid sexually transmitted diseases, the most safe way is to be a person who has sex with one person your entire life.
Your wife.
And then it's your wife, right? It's like, that's the top thing. Okay, there is no, you know, it's like, this is the safest way to do it. It's on the Center for Disease Control. So you want to control diseases. So it just, you know, why am I saying that? It's like, I just think like, you know, we are living in a world that's still partaking of the bad tree mm-hmm. and experimenting with all these things. But we, you know, there was a nature of evil that we saw during the 40s. And the 30s and the 20s. And now here we are in the 20s again, and we're seeing various natures of evil, and people are dying like crazy. And who's saying anything about it?
Different manifestations.
Not a lot of people, right?
Different manifestations of evil.
And we're living it. We have answers, and we suffer for the opinions that we hold, because we hold to the truth and the word of God. So we are swimming upstream, you know?
Paul says this is a great statement, Pastor Steve. 2 Timothy chapter 3:12, it says, yes, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. shall suffer persecution. There's that word, suffer. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Then he says in verse 14, but continue the things you've learned. In other words,
continue.
Like,
yeah.
We just keep going on. That this is this
that's about the pursuit
place.
Process, right? Yeah. You know who God continue. Is. You pursue.
Yeah, you pursue in the midst of it. In other words, some people use the evil that's out there and the evil that's taking place in this world to say, I can't follow God. It's too difficult. I can't do that. There's so much against walking with God. What do you mean? You want me to be without any physical relationship with a girl until I get married? Is that feasible or reasonable? And so Satan puts those thoughts into their mind, and what takes place? And so, no. What we're saying is continuing with the things that you've learned. Is evil getting less and less? No, it says it's getting worse and worse. And it waxes worse and worse. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. People think it's going to get better. No, it doesn't say that in the Bible. It doesn't say it's going to get better. It says that we can grow and we can get to know God more and more every single day. But as far as the externals, the world system, the devil and demons, I mean, it's going to get worse and worse. It's going to get worse and worse. People don't like to hear that. They're looking for some utopia. They want a utopia on earth, you know. So you climb to Mount Everest and you'll find yourself, you're still with yourself, which is you having an old sin nature would be there. I thought that, like, if I got away from America, I moved out of America. At a certain point, I was so tired and fed up with what was taking place.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to Switzerland, and I was in Interlaken, a city between two big mountains. And kind of like there, and I realized I was still with me. Me was still with me. Old sin nature was still with me. Nothing changed. Nothing. I didn't. The location changed. Didn't do anything. You know, because I realized, you know what? This is still. Guess what? I'm here. I'm me, and I have an old sin nature, and it didn't go away just because I moved away.
Yeah.
You know. And so, how many people, as we think about this, we think about pursuing God and how to continue to pursue the eternal weight of glory is pursuing and not stopping. Not stopping because of situations or circumstances or opposition. I'm not going to stop doing this. I'm going to continue on. And it's going to be continuing to be a receiver of God's grace. If I'm not receiving from God's grace, of course I'm not going to pursue. Mm-hmm. I will pursue in the own energy of my good flesh, and that will wear out real quick. So we have some comments up there, I think.
Yeah, it just says she's talking about, you know, you just quoted that verse, all who live godly in this world will suffer persecution. It's a promise. Three things were promised, food, clothes, persecution. It's like those are the promises to people who are members in particular of the church of God. Isaiah was shoved into a hollow log and sawed in half.
That's what Doreen said, huh?
Yeah. Well, that was, you'll like this. We played last night in our foundations class. There was a time when our ministry was located in Lenox, Massachusetts, and this was the final service in the new chapel that was built there. And Pastor Schaller preached a message going through Hebrews 11, all the verbs, and he got to this place about Isaiah being sawn in half. So, you know, Isaiah was a prophet, and he preached, and he was had an expectation. He, Uzziah, who was a very powerful and inventive and very administratively minded, probably a lot like you, but he didn't go into the temple and try and offer incense. You didn't. You won't do that. You wouldn't do that out of order. But Uzziah did, and then he had leprosy, and then he died at a certain point. And then in that point, Isaiah got to see the glory of God in Isaiah 6. But after Hezekiah died and an evil king took place, Manasseh, then Isaiah suffered and was sawn in half. And this is the thing. There isn't like a formula for escaping persecution or escaping suffering. Some people do get delivered. Peter, he was in prison, sleeping, resting, thinking, okay, I'm going to be with my Lord soon, because he's thinking, okay, I'll just take a nap and I'll be executed tomorrow. I'll lose, he probably would have been crucified, right? Because he wasn't a Roman citizen. So probably the king was going to crucify him. But, the king also crucified, John's brother, the one son of thunder, James mm-hmm. got executed, and then Peter was going to be executed. And then, you know, an angel came and let him out. So there is no formula. It's like mm-hmm. Paul was in prison, you know, house arrest. He got released for a time, and then he was back in the dungeon of dungeons and until he lost his head. So, you know, yeah. that the persecution can come and go. It's like when you pursue the weight of glory. And I think the weight is like, let's not look at that something that we're supposed to lift. I think the weight of glory speaks of the righteousness that he puts on us, right? I mean, isn't it more like a robe yeah. that he lays upon us? It's not like a, we're not talking about going from 50 pounds of bench yeah. pressing to 300 pounds of bench pressing in our faith, right?
Well, I like
it's that. It's grace,
that,
right?
Yeah, I like, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn yeah. of me. For I am meek and lowly, you'll find what rest in your soul. My yoke is easy. My burden is what?
Light. Yeah, light affliction, he says. That's how Paul starts this, right?
Light affliction, yeah. So when you give it to God, if you're going to handle all these things yourself that go on in life, then of course the weight is on you.
Yeah.
And you don't have, you know, in the flesh, as a good person, you don't have the ability to remove that weight, but you give it to God himself. Jesus says, I'll take it from you. Okay. He takes our sins, the weight of our sins. He takes our weaknesses and gives us his strength. He takes our confusion, gives us peace. So God is taking it. It's an eternal weight of glory. What am I pursuing? There's the question, the pursuit. And what is it that could stop my pursuit? Or am I aware of that? Little things coming in, you know? Mm-hmm. In other words, I'm pursuing God, but somebody wrongs me. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, because they're a Christian, or maybe they're even in the church sitting next to me, that I just say, like, been there, done that, no more Christianity. Or I'm not going to church anymore. I'll just serve God and worship God in my home. By the way, church is biblical. Read the epistles. They were written to churches. All right. Read Acts. He planted churches. I meet some people sometimes and they just say, like, you don't have to go to church to be saved. And I said, you could be right on that point.
That's right.
All right.
Yeah.
But you want to grow. You want to grow. Then church is essential. And I'm talking about a Bible believing, grace receiving, grace giving church that has an eternal purpose and has the word of God, you know. So when they say that, you know, it's very sad because they have bitten a lie. They have bitten that, is it that one bite of that apple? Yeah. And they don't think that's important at all. And so they stop pursuing. And I really believe this, when you stop going to church, you really think you're pursuing God.
Wow.
Really think you're pursuing God. You know what? When God says he's the head and the church is his body. So what do? You disconnect the head from the body? Is that what you do? And you call that pursuing God? No, it's not pursuing God. It's pursuing your own definition of who God is.
Yeah.
That's what you're pursuing. You're pursuing your own deception, actually. So this eternal weight of glory, pursuing the weight of glory. And what is God's glory? Well, God's glory is his grace. God's glory is his word. God's glory is eternal. Mm. Are we pursuing the grace of God, the word of God, that which is eternal? Or are we pursuing the body of Christ? Are we pursuing the gospel?
Yeah.
What are we pursuing? Pursuing the weight of glory must include these things. It isn't just a phrase we throw out. I'm pursuing the weight of glory. But what is God's glory?
Mm-hmm.
Where do you find God's glory? You find it in the church. I'm pretty sure the scriptures teaches that. Galatians 1:24. Okay? And they glorified God in me. And they glorify God in the church. They glorify God in his perfect plan, in his word. His word glorifies God. The Spirit glorifies God. Faith glorifies God.
Yeah.
Glorifying
that's true.
God. Really. So we got a lot of comments up there.
Yeah. Where we go? Let's go up here.
Yeah,
okay. It's a blessing to live godly. Pastor Ben talking about the face of persecution. We must look to the cross and not follow our heart, but what the cross brings and has brought for us. And yes, it's if you want to grow, go to church, especially a Bible teaching. Yeah, only a Bible. I would not especially, only a Bible teaching. I read this morning in the Psalms, like David talks about the congregation, then he talks about being in an even place, which is like, if you are in the congregation and you have a multitude of counselors, then you could be living on the mountain, you could be living in a valley, but the congregation is there for your edification, for your safety, for to be in the even place. You know, if you want to be in an even place, you need a fellowship, you need a congregation. And Psalm 73 makes it pretty clear. He's like so upset about the oppressors and the evil ones and people getting away with all kinds of things. And then it says, then I went to the sanctuary and I saw their end. And why? You know, I think what happens when we walk into a church, a grace-filled church, and we see the evenness of it, and we see the, if you're in a grace-filled church that's led by people filled with the Spirit and populated by people who are seeking, you know, the weight of glory and the filling of the Spirit, then you have an even place. It's like it's level for you. Mm. It's like it's probably the only right angle that you can come to, right? Because you come in and you look up, right? You come in. The narrow way leads to a large place, right? And the large place, the even place, is the congregation. That's why Jesus said, "Don't forsake the assembling of yourself together."
Can you say you're pursuing God if you don't think church is important? It's an interesting question. I've been thinking a lot today about another topic too, which connects with this. It's about growing. It's receiving grace, growing, and glorifying God. Mm. That will be our subject tonight. Everybody is welcome to come to Bible class tonight.
6025 Moravia Park Drive, 21206 is the zip code. Let Siri or Sir. My wife has Sir who talks on it, so I have Siri who talks on my phone, but let them lead you here.
You'll have a good time. Tonight, it'll be class tonight at 6 o'clock, 6 to 8. You're welcome, and we'll have a prayer meeting after the class. And talking about growth, what does it mean to grow? So if I am pursuing an eternal weight of glory, am I pursuing growing? Yes, I want to grow. How many people want to stay the same? I mean, maybe some people do, and that's your choice. That's your believer priesthood, right? But I want to grow as a believer. I don't want to say just because I've been doing this Christian thing since, 49 years, that I need to grow. I need to grow because what we face today and tomorrow is going to be more intense than what we faced, you know, a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 5 years ago. So we need to grow. If the Bible says evil is getting worse and worse, then what about Christians? Do they need to grow? You know?
Yeah.
Is Satan becoming, the night is far spent, Romans chapter 12. That means Satan is more sophisticated than he ever has been because he's viewing humanity and he has a purpose and a plan. So you think I can sit there and say I don't need to grow? We need to be people who grow and understand the importance of that. We need personal growth. Churches have a desire, I hope churches do, have a desire to grow spiritually and numerically. Disciples need to grow. The gospel outreaches need to grow. And growing. And that's so important. The word for growth in the New Testament is the word oxano. And really it implies if it's alive, it's growing.
Mm-hmm.
If it's alive, it's growing. So Satan wants his cancer, his satanic cancer, to grow in people's lives, and so that they would just totally be ripped away and ripped off and removed from any kind of blessing from God. And he can't change the fact that they're saved, but he can certainly make a help. He can certainly come at them and try to deceive them into being in a place where they want nothing to do with God, even though they're born again, and therefore other people do not get saved. We got somebody watching from
Mozambique.
Mozambique, Maputo. Yeah. That's Lebo. Yes, and they got a great church in that place. I think they got more than one church. Tell me if I'm right or wrong. I think there's a couple of churches in Mozambique, maybe three or so. But thank you. And thank you for continuing to do the work of God. She married a man from Mozambique, and she is from South Africa. And it's just great to see how the work is growing in Mozambique, which was at one time a very difficult country mm-hmm. to penetrate.
Yeah.
And it had just a lot of negative things going on there. But as God can open up any place, he's opening up that place in there.
Well, I mean, I know that you know this from your time on the ground, but you know, like this is where, I mean, people don't want to, we don't talk about it so much in the northern and western hemisphere, but in Africa, you know, the gospel is gaining ground every day.
Yes, yes.
And in India and these other places and in China, we don't get the, you know, they don't get the connection. We don't get the internet feeds all the time from those places,
right,
which
right.
is probably the reason why they're growing so much. They're not so distracted, but that's a topic for another day. But here I am talking on a podcast that's on the internet.
Yes.
Sorry about that. Yeah. I just think like, you know, the pursuit of God, you know, seeing who he is, the weight of glory, like you're saying, the light affliction, his burden is light, his yoke is easy. It's just like, I heard like another ridiculous actor talk about, you know, about how the Bible is a strange story. And like, you know, he just went on and all this rant. If you took all religions off the world, then, you know, everything would be fine. Well, you know, a couple of places did attempt to erase religion from the public sphere, and it only resulted in death and starvation. You can read about it. There's a very good book called Red Plenty, and it talks about how there was a short season in Soviet Russia where people were thinking, this is working, this is working, this is working, and then it all collapsed on them. You know, there are famines in the winter and everything like that. So you know, this man he doesn't really do much for anyone except make movies. And then he's there telling us how to live. It's kind of interesting, you know, that, I know it bothers you too. You know, it bothers you. Just got to move on from it and realize that there's an eternal weight of glory that's coming for us. And this life is a short breath. It's only a moment in the morning of the total day that we're going to live. And, we have a very, you know, if people would just read the Bible and see what Jesus did in putting himself in our place, becoming as we are so that we can be as he is, and suffering, you know, letting the government, religion, and the justice system afflict all kinds of injustice upon his person and then lifting him up from the earth. If you could get that understanding about the one who threw himself in front of the locomotive that was judgment that was on every single one of us, then you understand like the weight of glory and how it was bought for us. That's the thing.
Yeah.
We have to look to the cross and see that the weight of glory was bought for us, right? We don't have to pay for it, right? It
reminded me of a story I heard this morning. I read this morning. There was a railroad strike, and the leader of the union of the railroad never really paid much attention to the minister or the pastor, but he somehow ran into him in a coffee shop, and he said, "Like, what would you do to stop this strike? Can you help me? Can you give me any idea what I can do as far as the strike is concerned?" Because they were striking against the railroad. He goes, "Well," he said, "if you really are serious about this strike, this railroad strike, take your, you have one son." He goes, "Yeah." He said, "Take your son, lay him down on the tracks, tie him to the tracks, and run him over with the locomotive." He said, then they'll see that you're serious." He goes, "That's ridiculous. That's crazy." He goes, "Well, that's what Jesus did." You know, and it was really interesting. He says the guy just like was in shock over that. You know, I want to look a little bit again at the 2 Corinthians 4:15-18, and look, maybe we have a few minutes to develop a few contrasts here. The first thing he says is all things are for your sake. So there's things that are for my sake that I can receive grace and glory versus all things that are taking place. So I can look at all the things that are happening and not think they're for my sake. Oh, no. How can that be for my sake? How can that be for my sake? Well, he says all things are for your sake because you're going to receive grace and glory. Then he talks about not fainting, that the outward man perishes and the inward man is renewed. You see the contrast there. All things versus grace and glory. outward perish, inward renewed. Then he talks about light affliction is for a moment, and it works an eternal weight of glory. Look at the opposite, light affliction, weight of glory, moment, eternal. Then we see the next contrast, those who look at that which is seen and those who by faith look at that which is not seen. And then the fifth contrast between the temporal and the eternal. This is a great portion of scripture here. You know, it just shows us so many different contrasts that Paul is presenting through the ministry of the Holy Spirit to people, that they can really take a look at that and see that specifically to Corinth, but to each and every one of us as we look at that which is going on. And do I see all things for your sake? You know, we have, oh, I like that, Pastor Sam Mohima. Looks like our light affliction prepares us for eternity. Absolutely. Even when we don't want it, it's going to work in us a exceeding weight of glory. Isn't that what that verse says?
Yeah.
All things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not, though our outward man is perishing, the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction is for what?
A moment. This time.
But it works. What does it say? Does it say it works for us?
Works for us.
Oh, no. Really? Are you trying to tell me that all these things and this affliction works for me? Oh, I know, sir. I'm trying to escape those things as fast as possible. Get away from those things. And then you miss what works for you.
Yeah.
Then there is an experientially an eternal weight of glory that's going on because you run away from the light affliction. And by the way, Paul calls it a light affliction.
Really?
He says, what's heavy? Eternal weight of glory. Light affliction. And by the way, did he go through afflictions? Just read 2 Corinthians chapter 11, as
that's
we
right.
said, and 12. When he was in, he talked about between 35 and 38 things he was in. I want to get that correct if I can.
Yeah.
And he saw those things as light affliction. Light affliction, really.
Well, let's think about, okay, light affliction. I want to take you, now let's go back to like pre-salvation for Paul. You know, he saw the light face, the lit up face of Stephen as he got stoned. And why was Stephen's face lit up? I mean, he's preaching a message about how every time a messenger comes to the people of God, they reject him, whether it's Moses, whether it's Joseph, whether it's Isaiah, whether it's Jesus, they've always rejected. And Stephen was looking into eternity to the point that, you know, how much did he feel those stones? I'm sure he felt them, but he sees Jesus standing at the right hand of glory, and this affliction that he's enduring, it was just for a moment and he was gone. And that stuck with Paul. That stuck with Paul. That was the kicking against the pricks, the goad. He kept seeing Stephen forgiving and seeing God lifted up. And, that's the, you know, that Stephen got ushered into heaven by Christ himself. That's the people don't really realize that the one who gave his life for us is even doing more for us. He's waiting to welcome us and he's serving us. He's serving us as our advocate, and he's always answering the accusation by pointing to his blood. It's like, this is what it is. This is, you know, so there is something exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think that's waiting for us.
And I like the point that somebody said to me one time, Jesus is always sitting at the right hand of the Father. I said, no, he's not. I said, sometimes he's standing.
That's right.
I said, he's standing every time a believer comes home. I said, he stands up to greet us. What does Stephen say? I saw heaven opened and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. That's incredible that he's there to welcome a believer home. So I think that Pastor Sam also says,
so what can you say about the sufferings of this present time comparing with the glory that's going to be revealed to us? And I mean, that's
a great verse.
I mean, the whole story of Stephen just tells us the transition. Like, you know, one minute you're preaching the gospel, the next minute you're in his presence.
Well, think about that Roman church. Maybe Pastor Sam, think about that Roman church, which they say the city of Rome had 4 million people. The Christians were known by two C's. Colosseum, where they died.
Yeah, that's right.
Catacombs, where they lived.
That's right.
And there was tremendous persecution. And really, the church, somebody said the church was at a maximum 150 people among those 4 million. And think about the heathen worship, the Caesar worship, the promiscuity, the drinking, the drugs, everything that was going on. Yeah. In this, by the way, this empire run from Rome was the most powerful empire I think that existed. It covered the whole world. And it did it for 900 years. I read that Rome was in control for 900 years. It was incredible. You think about that and how much the empire extended yeah. out. And here is this little Jewish man preaching this message in the midst of Rome, or messages to Rome and whatnot. And we see that today the church exists, but the Roman Empire does not.
Yeah.
So the church and the message of grace and God's glory broke the empire.
That's right.
Broke the empire. And, the power of God.
There's stories like that. I read one in church history. It's very interesting. Now, you know, Xavier went to Japan and planted a church there, and it grew. There was about 100,000, maybe 200,000 Christians in Japan at a certain point in time. But then came an emperor who exterminated Christianity as much as he could, or so he thought. Mm. 200 years later, an American warship went to Tokyo Bay, opened Japan up again, and missionaries came again. And here's the great story. This is amazing. You're going to love this. A missionary came and he was setting up his operation in Japan, and 15 villagers. Now imagine this. 200 years before, they had exterminated every Christian they could find, or so they thought. But here was 15 villagers who came to the missionary. Are you preaching about the Jesus that we learned about? Hmm. So for 200 and some years, the faith kept getting passed along. And these villagers, they came secretly to the guy. He said, you know, we've been hiding as Christians all these times. So, you know, what kind of weight of glory will those people be revealed to us when we get there?
It's
so
amazing.
That's going to be amazing.
I got
right?
another Japanese story for you.
What is that?
Shinambuke. It was a village, and two missionaries were going through, and because of the persecution, they had to go fast. And they left the Bible there. Uh-huh. And they went back after the war, and they found out that the mayor, all the teachers, and the entire village were converts.
Because of the Bible.
Because of the Bible.
Just because the Word of God was present.
Left the Bible there, and somebody started to read it and believe it. And it's the glory of God, pursuing the eternal weight of glory. Yes. And so that's all they could do was to leave a Bible there because they had to get out. And what happened with that Bible was an entire area was converted to the power of God's Word.
I think that's a great thing just to think about, like what's coming and look ahead. C.S. Lewis said it, the people who are most looking forward to the eternal things to come are going to be the most important and effective people mm-hmm. in this part of the world. So we look to the glory that God is going to clothe us with, and we live in the reality of what we are. And suffering, yes, it's a light affliction. It's a burden. It's a yoke, but it is yoked up with Christ.
Don't you think it would be great if some of the leaders, one of my great prayers is that like leaders and presidents of countries and hierarchy of government officials would get converted.
That's
Can you imagine
it.
If somebody just stood up one day and said, they're elected president or prime minister, they said, I'm going to govern by the word of God. I want to live by God's word. I'm going to govern by God's word. We're going to propagate God's word. Can you imagine? Can you imagine that? I'm sure it's happened in some places somewhere.
Yeah.
I don't know for sure, but it could be incredible. I think wasn't it in South Korea that the majority of Christians, I mean, they almost say that
1905, 1% of South Korea, less than 1% of South Korea was Christian in 1905. By the end of the 1970s, more than 40% of, I think it's even higher today. There's 27,000. 27,000 Korean missionaries on the field right now.
I think it's something like 78% of Korea is born again.
Yeah, could be.
South Korea.
South Korea.
And
their
vision for North Korea, China. But by the way, you meet Korean missionaries everywhere. I met them in Africa, all over the place. They were everywhere in Africa too.
But you know, when China went into North Korea and started pushing people out, the majority of the Christians were actually in the north. to the Christians that were persecuted under the communist regime and the political situation. They actually moved south. And that's when, like, a real boost. That's when, like, you know, you got the prayer mountain there, 24 hours, you know, million-person church. They people are praying all the time, 20,000 people praying all the time.
Imagine
24
that.
Hours a day. It's like, it's amazing.
And they're pursuing the weight of glory.
That's right.
That's what they're pursuing. And so there's a country, maybe now that overall as a country, they are pursuing the eternal weight of glory, the weight of glory. And will they suffer? Yes.
Yeah.
Will there be suffering? Somebody, you know, just because we are pursuing God doesn't mean there are not going to be things that take place and whatnot. So suffering.
That's a light affliction.
Yeah, it's a light affliction. We got somebody called, let's see. We
government
got
leaders,
Johnson.
That would be awesome. Yeah, Madeline said, so powerful. That would be good. Government leaders, that would be awesome. Praying for it. Hey, it's all right. Nebuchadnezzar had Daniel and the three Hebrew boys, and we know what happened there. Well, friends, we've come to the end of our week of broadcasts, or podcasts, I should say. Got to learn that word. and we want to thank you for being a part of the Grace Hour show today. Thank you, Pastor Schiavelli. I'm Pastor Steve Androlonis. Our engineer today has been Sebastian Palmieri. And we want to tell you that the Grace Hour show is a ministry of Greater Grace Church in Baltimore. And it is the weekend. Two things we could tell you about. First, our church services, 9:11 on Sunday morning and 6:30 on Sunday evening. You're welcome. 6025 Moravia Park Drive in Baltimore. The zip code is 21206. And also, Saturday mornings, if you're free, come on by at our fellowship hall. You can go out on evangelism with us. We got groups of people that go out to all parts of Baltimore. It's a great way to get together, learn how to share your faith. Well, friends, have a great Friday and a great weekend. God bless.